Thank you, Lord God, for just another opportunity, Lord, to stand in this sacred place on this sacred day. Father God, I pray that as I stand before your people, Lord God, that they not see me, Lord, but that you or Jesus stand before me. And I pray, Father, that the words that I utter from my mouth, that as they hear me, I pray, Lord, that they would hear the Holy Spirit speak through them, through me. Ask that you bless this word and the itching ears that it falls upon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That was one of my favorite songs. As a matter of fact, you probably already know what today's scripture or where it might be coming from. It's coming from a very familiar book, the book of Esther. It's only 10 chapters, and we're going to try to cover at least about 8 or 9 of them. It's not that you don't know the story. We found that whenever elders or we have to speak, sometimes we're tasked with what can you say that the church hasn't heard already? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing new that can be preached. Now, you might can tweak it a little bit, come from a different angle. But I'm not questioning your intelligence. I know you know the book of Esther. But today, I'd just like to highlight some things. Amen. Our scripture today is found in Esther 2 and 17 and Esther 4, 14 through 16. My reading, you'll hear. Verse 17, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. 4 and 14 says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews or from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this. 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. In verse 16, he says, go, assemble all of the Jews who are found at Susa and fast for me. Do not eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my maidens will fast in the same way. And thus I go into the king, which is not according to the law. Which is not according to the law. Have you ever had something settled in your mind? I know I haven't finished the verse yet, because I want to try to put you in the mindset of where Esther was. She had settled something in her mind. Otherwise, she could not utter these next few words. And she says, if I perish, I perish. See, it's not about me now. If I can attach a title to this word today, it would be positioned to make a difference. Can you say that with me? Positioned to make a difference. The book of Esther gives us a glimpse into the life of the Jews who were living among the Medes and the Persians. They were in the Medes and the Persian Empire, members of the Babylonian Empire, this is the second. And they reigned between the Babylonian Empire and the Greek Empire, and how close that they came to complete destruction, complete annihilation. The story records deliverance of the Jewish people from a murderous prime minister intent on exterminating the Jew Mordecai and all of his people. The book is named for its principal character, whose Hebrew name is Hadashi, who was changed to the Persian name, she was changed from the Persian name of Esther, which means a star. While God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther, If you read the book, it's very obvious that providence, the providence of God was at play here. And the providence was that Esther was positioned to make a difference. And she was positioned to make a difference for the salvation of her people. I learned in biology, you know, some things you just don't forget in biology when you're in school. I learned that what matter was. You are matter. I'm matter. And the reason I know that is because matter is defined as anything that has weight and occupies space. So you are matter and you matter. You see, I admonish you that you ought to be aware of where we are positioned in this moment, in our spiritual life as well as our secular life. You should always be conscious of what your position is or where your position is. Ponder this question. Am I making a difference in what God has given me, or am I just existing? Have you ever wondered what your purpose is? Why am I here? And then in the position that I am in, am I utilizing it to the max? Am I getting the fullest out of what I should be doing right now or where I am right now? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In case you didn't know it, you are somebody. The major characters in this story are Esther. She's a beautiful Jewish teenage girl. Mordecai, he was the cousin and the guardian of Esther because he raised her, he took her after her parents had died. Haman, he was the prime minister of the king, and you're going to hear King Ahasuerus, or it's the same as King Xerxes. And then the queen, Vashti. I want you to know that in Esther 1, to put it in context so you know where we are, the story takes place during the third year of the reign of King Ahasuerus at Susa in Persia. Has anybody ever been to a party that lasted 180 days? These people didn't play back in the day. For 180 days, the king had daily banquets for all the princes, the attendants, the army officials of Persia and Media, the nobles, and the princes of 127 provinces in which he reigned over. He displayed all of his riches and his majesty and of his kingdom. He displayed all of these things before the people. But watch this. Have you ever, back in the day, you go to a concert, and after the concert, you go to the after party. Well, like I said, these people party. After the 180 days, the word says King gave a party for 7 days. After that, the after party. You see, King Ahasuerus, he had a banquet for 7 days for all the people who were present at the citadel in Susa, from the greatest to the least, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Everybody was invited. Drinks were served. Now, if this had been a party today, and don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. It could have been some Grey Goose there, some Hennessy, some Moscato, some daiquiris. Don't play with it. The drinks were served in the golden vessels and various kinds, and the royal wine was plentiful to the king's back. You could drink as much as you wanted. On the 7th day of the last day of the feast, the last day of those 7 days, in Esther 1, 10, 11, it says that when the heart of the king was merry with wine, when the king was full, he told 7 of his chamberlains to go and bring King Vashti over to his feast with her crown royal. Not the drink, don't get twisted. With the crown royal, her crown. Vashti was beautiful. And he wanted to display her beauty to the guests. Vashti had her own party going on with her girls in another part of the palace. Now, sometimes you have to use your sanctified imagination and kind of put things in perspective. And you know, Vashti had her girls there. Probably one of them was named Shaquita. Okay, these seven chamberlains come over, tell Vashti, the king wants you to come over to his party. Vashti was a strong queen. You just didn't play with Vashti. Vashti, I'm not going over. I got me and my girls here. We doing our thing. And I can imagine that this had been a particular kind of party. I can imagine Shaquita would have said, Vashti, what? This man wants you to come over there and leave your party? I mean, I done drove my six-horse chariot for about 7 days trying to get here. You finna leave? So Vashti didn't go. And Vashti was beautiful. You see, Vashti wasn't about to be played like that. He wanted to parade his queen among his friends to see her beauty. And the Bible says she was beautiful. But it's for the wrong reason that he wanted her to come. Remember, King Ahasuerus was full. He was full of anger. He was full of wine that Vashti had refused to come on his command. And in the presence of those, Vashti had disrespected the king, and something had to be done. Watch how the Lord's providence is about to happen here now. Menuhin, one of the princes of Persia, was at the banquet. You know, sometimes the king, somebody always has the king's ear. Menuhin, he told the king, not only has Queen Vashti wronged you, but also all the princes and all the people who are in all the king's provinces. Okay, she disrespected you, and not only you, but us. Menuhin said, this day the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard the queen's conduct will speak in the same to all the king's princes. You got to do something about this. This lady disrespected you? Our lady's going to disrespect us. Something's got to be done, queen. Menuhin has the king here now. He says, if it pleases the king, let the royal edict be issued by him that Vashti may no longer come into the presence of the king, Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than she. It was done, and Vashti was out just like that. Even now, we can see how God's providence is at work. It's about to begin. This opens the door now for a new queen. Amen? Every king needs a queen at his side. I do. My queen sang for y'all today, and it was a beautiful blessing. Nine Esther 2. The king's servants ministered to him. They came up with a plan. Yeah, somebody's always got a plan. They suggested that he have his officials in all the provinces to gather young virgins and bring them to the Susa palace. After a year of pampering and grooming, the king would choose the one that pleased him the most to replace Vashti. Here we see God's providence at work again. There was a Jew named Mordecai who lived at Susa, who had been carried away from Jerusalem. Now you remember some of the Jews after the Babylonian Empire, some of them went back to Jerusalem, but some of them stayed and lived among the Medes and the Persians. This guy Mordecai, he was the guardian of his uncle's daughter, Hadassah. Mordecai took her as his daughter after after her father and mother had died. You remember I said that earlier. Hadashi was one of the young virgins that was brought to Susa, the place, and she was put under the custody of Hagar, the keeper of the women. Hadashi gave her name under the name is Esther, as instructed by Mordecai, nor did she reveal that she was a Jew. For some reason, you see how God is working. Haggai, he showed favor to Esther. I have 3 points in this message that I want to give you. The first point is, recognize that God has given you exactly what you need while you're in your position. Yeah, have you ever thought about where you are right now? God has given you, you may not recognize it yet. You may not have even thought about it yet. Remember I asked you, what's your purpose or why you're here? But God has given you exactly what you need to function in your position. I've not found any evidence where Esther bumped against the position that she found herself in during the preparation, which was beyond her control. 12 months of pampering with myrrh and perfumes and just everything to just get her ready just to go in to meet the king. You don't just run up in the king's palace. There's got to be some preparation. Amen? You see, God will allow you to be found in positions you didn't even apply for in life. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not trust in your own standing. Agree with him in all your ways. You may not realize what your reason is for where you are, but trust in God. That's what the scriptures tell us to do. It may be as clear as mud. You can't really see what your purpose is right now. But trust in God. And by, he will reveal it to you. Psalms 99 says, the Lord also speaks, save those who suffer. He is a safe place in times of trouble. Anybody ever been in trouble but you still felt safe? Anybody ever been back up against the wall but you weren't really threatened? Why? Because you trusted in God. Somebody please say positioned to make a difference. The woman would not go before the king until 12 months of purification. 6 months with oil of myrrh. 6 months with sweet odors and other things for purifying the woman. The process was for each maid could take, when the process is over, it's time for her to go in. They said that she could take anything from the house of the women, and this is where they were. She could take anything from the house of women to enhance her beauty. Maybe she wanted some bigger hoops, some more, just whatever. She could take anything that could enhance her beauty, that would give her favor with the king. She would go into the king in the evening, spend one night, and return to the house of the women the following day. She would return no more except the king delighted in her and she was called by her name. Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just one or two of y'all. Don't get it twisted. Do you think Esther went in for a Bible study that night? Now, the Bible's not explicit in that. But use your sanctified, thank you, brother, your sanctified imagination. See, because some people would really want to come down on Esther right now and say, well, how could she be worthy of anything to be used by God in case there was an intimate affair between she and the king? You see, you don't ever know how God is going to use you. God can use young women that maybe had intimate relationships out of wedlock. God can use young men who maybe had intimate relationships out of wedlock. See, you got to look at the parallels in this thing and bring it to 2021. God can use anybody in the position that he puts you in, amen, or that he allows you to be found in. When it came time for Esther to go into the king, the word says she took nothing extra to enhance her beauty from the house of the women. Point two, God's favor can elevate you out of your circumstances. Amen? Have you ever found yourself in a situation that looked like, once again, you were out for the count. And for some reason, somehow. Maybe not because of any manipulation of your own, but Lord, you out of your circumstances. You see, look back over your life. Folks, some of us should be dead, should be resting in our graves. Somebody say faith. Esther 2:17, the Bible says, the king loved Esther above all of the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all of the other virgins, so that he set a royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. The song says, one night with the king changes everything. One day in his courts can forever change your course. One moment in his presence will never, your life will never be the same. You see, we have to parallel this and just bring it to 2021. See, this was an intimate relationship between a young woman and a king. But in the spiritual, if you look back over your life, when you were not in Jesus or Jesus was not in you, have you ever spent one night with King Jesus? Do you remember your transformation? Do you remember when you were intimate with Jesus? Because that's what you got to be. See, some of us have been in the way a long time, and some of us are just in the way. You remember your transformation? I'm not talking about when you started going to church. I'm talking about, do you remember your transformation? I remember mine. And I was an adult. I've been going to church all my life. I think I've told you before. I was in a prayer meeting one night in Smyrna. Pastor Hooker was the pastor. Grew up in church, one block from my church. I was Methodist. But it was something about that night. That night, it's like I saw Jesus for the first time. Something happened inside of me. One night with the king. Can you look back over your life and remember when that night was? Your night might have been in day. Not literally. Esther was now in a position that she probably had never imagined. Genesis 37 through 47, I'm reminded of a 17-year-old young man named Joseph who found himself in positions which range from being thrown in a pit by his brothers, tempted by Pharaoh's wife. He resisted the temptation, thrown into prison. From position to ruler over all the land of Egypt, it took some 13 years to make a difference for his family. From the pit to the palace. You see, he ended up in a position because of a famine, and Jacob and all his brothers had to come to him for food. I don't care how your situation looks now. There's no written law says it has to look like that down the road. You can look back now and say your position is better than it was some years ago. Esther 2, God's providence positioned Mordecai at the king's palace to overhear a plot positioned to make a difference. Remember Mordecai? Esther's cousin. Well, she's queen now. Mordecai, it says he would often go by just to see if he could just see how things were with Esther. But this day, he happened to be in position to hear two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthar and Teresh. They were planning some bodily harm for the king, but the Lord allowed him to be in position to overhear the plot. Mordecai made it known to Queen Esther, and she made it known to the king. As a result, the two were hanged due to Mordecai being in position to make a difference. documented in something called the Book of Chronicles. He had the scribes to document certain things for the king in the Book of Chronicles. After this, you remember Haman, king's prime minister? Haman, who had no love for the Jews, was promoted by King Ahasuerus. The king has commanded all in the court to bow and pay homage to Haman. When Mordecai was in the presence of Haman, he positioned himself. He refused to bow. He stood upright. Now that made Haman kind of hot. Who are you? You're a Jew. You're not a Persian. And you're not bowing to me? I remember a story in Daniel 3. I'm reminded of three Hebrew boys who found themselves in a precarious position. King Nebuchadnezzar. That's a lot to say. Can I just say Neb? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Neb had a big statue, a big image made of him. And anybody, whenever the sound of the satraps and the harps and all that was sounded, everybody was to bow. Everybody. These three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That ain't our God. And we would not bow. Well, this kind of, somebody brought the word. You always got somebody that's going to bring the word back to the leader. You know, going to snitch. So they snitched on these boys, and Neb said, this can't happen. He the first up. Oh, and he the seven times. How? Position to make a difference. He had these boys thrown in the furnace. It was so hot that the ones that threw them in got burned up. But watch this. Watch how God can work in your situation. The word says that when Neb drew close to the furnace, wait a minute. We threw three people up in the furnace. Why do I see four? You see, God can meet you inside your circumstance. I don't know what that other person that was in the furnace that met them, but before they entered the flame, I'm just trying to use my sanctified imagination. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that something happened molecular to the flames. I can't understand it. Maybe you can. Obviously, all of the heat, all of the damage that could have been done was taken out of the flames by this other party that met them in the flames. Let me tell you something. If you haven't been in some situations, you can be in some situations that in a normal day would take anybody out. But for some reason, in your circumstance, you found safety. You found peace. You found happiness. And it will confuse a whole lot of people. But maybe because of your connection with God, you understand why you're functioning the way you're functioning in your position. 2021. You see, that choice to stand made a difference. Nebuchadnezzar, as he threw him into the furnace, and the fourth, he had already cooled the flames. Somebody please say position to make a difference. God came to take the heat out of your circumstance. Haman had convinced the king to issue a murderous decree to have all the Jews and all the prophets destroyed. In other words, these Jews, they were destined for annihilation. They are diverse people. They don't keep our laws. The king made the written decree, and it was sealed with his ring, which could not be rescinded by law. You see how Haman is trying to manipulate the annihilation of the Jews. Now, back in the day, when the king gave a decree and had the scribes to write a decree, that was it. And he put the ring in the wax, and that sealed the deal. It could not be rescinded. This was a death warrant on all the Jews orchestrated by Haman. Say it ain't over until it's over. Mordecai hears the decree, tears his clothes, puts on sackcloth, and spreads himself in ashes. He goes into the midst of the city and cries bitterly. That draws a little Mordecai and sends Hatak to find out what's the problem with Mordecai. Mordecai sends word back to Esther of the king's decree. Even sends her a copy of what's destined for their people. Imagine what this had to do to Esther. He also sends a copy of the decree. Esther was positioned to make a difference. Mordecai sends word to Esther, look, you got to do something, Esther. You know, you're the queen now. You need to make requests for your people, for our people. Esther sends word back to Mordecai. There's a law that nobody goes into the inner court unless summoned by the king, for you can be put to death, even the queen. Mordecai sends word back to Esther. Don't think that you will escape the same fate as us and other Jews. You can't hold your peace at this time, Esther, and think that deliverance will come from another place. You're the one to make the difference now. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Position to make a difference. She was positioned to make a difference as nobody else was in a position to do. Esther sends word back to Mordecai. She said, look, get the Jews together who are present in Susa. Fast for me. Neither eat, neither drink for 3 days, day or night. And I and my handmaids will do likewise and will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And here it is. And if I perish, I perish. It's seven. Her mind is made up. No matter what, see, it's not about me now. It's about her people. And Mordecai had to remind her of that. So pray. How many knows that nothing comes but by prayer and fasting? Amen? She says from Mordecai. You see, this is bigger than Esther now. And she revealed that. Position to make a difference. Point three. Don't rehearse the difficulties when it's time to function in your position. You know, sometimes that's the first thing we do. We find ourselves in a position and instead of looking at the positive, we rehearse the negative. You know, instead of me thinking about why I can't do something, I'm looking at why I can't do something. Don't rehearse the difficulties. Esther makes a decision to go into the king, not considering her own safety, but the safety of her people. A young teenage woman who never envisioned being in her position, and now she was needed to save her people. On the third day of fasting, Esther put on a royal apparel and went to the king's house. When the king saw Esther standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. The king held out the golden scepter. Esther drew near and touched it. Then the king said to Esther, what with thou, Queen Esther? What do you want? And what is thy request? It shall be given to you up to half of my kingdom. Esther had faith. Esther replied, I would like for you and Haman to come to a banquet I have prepared for you this day. And they did. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you. And I will show you greater and wonderful things which you do not know. You see, when you fast and pray, Psalms 55:17 says, I will cry out and complain on the evening and the morning and the noon, and he will hear my voice. Matthew 21:22 says, all things you ask in prayer, you will receive. And if you ask in faith. Now, at the private banquet with only the king and Haman present, the king asked Esther again, what is your petition? And it shall be given you even up to half of the kingdom. Esther then tells the king, if I have found favor in your sight, grant my petition. Let the king and Haman come to another banquet that I shall prepare for tomorrow. She invites him to this banquet to invite him to a banquet tomorrow. Haman left the banquet feeling very important that Esther had invited him as well and included him with the king. He was kind of like feeling himself right now. But however, when he sees Mordecai, there's that Mordecai again. He is enraged because Mordecai did not bow to him again. Word to the wise. Be careful of the traps you set for others in your life. You could find yourself entangled in your own trap. You see, one night when the king could not sleep, it was not unusual for the king to have the records of Chronicles to be read to him so he could get some comfort. You remember the book of Chronicles? You remember what was entered into the Book of Chronicles here just a little while ago about who saved his life, the person who actually brought the report to save his life. It was Mordecai. Within the Chronicles, it was recorded that it was Mordecai who exposed and reported two of the king's doorkeepers who sought to lay hands on him. The king honored Mordecai instead of Haman. Haman was humiliated because he thought all the favor shown to Mordecai belonged to him. Watch out for the haters. Mordecai now is positioned to make a difference. At the next banquet, the next day, Esther had prepared for the king and Haman. Again, the king asked her, what is your position? And it shall be granted. Esther 7, 3 and 4. Esther the queen answered and said, if I have favor in thy sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If you had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent. But it's more than that. For our affliction is not to be with loss to the king. Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, who is he? And where is he? Who is dared to do this? And Esther said, a foe and enemy. This wicked Haman. And Haman was right there at the feast. Now, you know, Haman ought to be shaking in his boots. Then Haman was terrified. Haman was hanged on the very gallows meant for Mordecai. You see, Haman had even, in his rage, his wife, she had convinced him to build a gallows at his house for Mordecai. Remember I told you, watch the traps you set. The very gallows he built for Mordecai, he was hanging on. Her request to the king was to reverse the decree to destroy the Jews. Had she not been positioned as queen, had she not been in the position that she finds herself in now, there's no way she could have approached the king for his request. This request was that it could not be done because it was sealed with the king's ring. The king could not reverse the decree. The best thing that could happen was that another decree could be given. That the Jews, at the time that they were to be destroyed, of the day set, there was another decree made. As a matter of fact, he had given Mordecai a position. He had elevated him, gave him Haman's house and all of that. He allowed Mordecai to chronicle or to have the scribes to set another decree to give them the permission to fight and to protect themselves when this decree was supposed to take place. And they did. Just because somebody was positioned to make a difference. There's a book that I came across, and I just wanted to share something with you. Matter of fact, it's from a local author. His name is Robert Esco Jr. Easy to read. Go out and get it. Page 60, 98, it says, and now I'm asking you to use you again. Let your light shine. Let your light be put on display. Allow others to know all that I have done for you. Through you, others will learn of me and of my goodness and love for them. You may not preach a sermon, but your life will be a testimony of what I'm able to do. Allow me to work through you and watch what I can do. See, sometimes you find yourself in a position and you actually think that, what do I have to contribute? Maybe because of the way I've lived my life, God has no use for me. But you read this book, you'll see these people just like us. Sister Esco's son. He shares some things with you. It's called his story. He wasn't perfect like you and me. But he found something in Jesus, and Jesus could use anybody. You see, the whole gist of the story is that, like, Esther had a physical, intimate relationship with the king. Remember I told you about parallels? Well, we need to have a spiritual, intimate relationship with Jesus. And I invite you that if you haven't, please do. Remember the 3 points. Recognize God has given you exactly what you need while in your position. 2, God's favor can elevate you out of your circumstances. And don't rehearse the difficulties when time to function in your position. Brother Nick. I want to tell you about somebody. I know you know him. But there may be somebody under the sound of my voice in virtual land that may not know him. You just happen to be coming by this website and you just kind of dropped in. And you're kind of hearing some things maybe for the first time. I want to tell you about a man named Jesus. Now you talk about positioning. He came here through a virgin. Where most babies have nice cribs and warm blankets and stuff, he was born and placed in a manger. He grew up, lived a sinless life, studied scriptures, was very familiar with the scriptures. And because of church folk, he began to have hateration. Y'all know some people like that, don't you? Just don't like it just because. But he endured. Along the way in his life, he did some miraculous things. He healed people, brought sight to the blind. He found himself sometimes in position to do some things that doctors couldn't do. He was in position close enough for a lady just to grab the hem of his garment. She had been bleeding for years. He found himself one time in a boat with some men, some disciples, and this storm came up, positioned in the bottom of the boat. They didn't know what else to do. Shook him, wake him up. He was positioned to make the difference. All he had to do was speak to the storm and say, "Be still." I'm trying to tell you about it. I don't have enough time to tell you everything. But this is some of the stuff that he did. Remember that time you should have been dead, but you didn't die? And it wasn't because of you. There was something else at work, and you didn't even recognize. I've been there. To make it so bad, let me tell you what they did. See, because you... Somebody need to know this. Maybe you haven't thought about it in a while. But religious people didn't like it because of the favor that he got from other people whom he healed, whom he showed compassion to. His name is Jesus. Yes, the Son of God. And because he said he was the Son of God, now that rubbed some people the wrong way. But he was speaking the truth. As a result, tried in a kangaroo court, not guilty of anything, beat the cat of nine tails, spat upon, just humiliated. Just done wrong. I'm trying to appeal to your emotions right now. Because you need to know what this man did and what he is doing and what he will do. Anybody ever been stuck by a thorn? I know most of y'all never been in the woods. But anybody here has ever been stuck by one thorn? It hurts. As a sign of humiliation, they weave a crown made out of thorns. One. They radically positioned it on his head. Positioned to make a difference. They found him guilty, and the penalty was crucifixion. To be nailed to a cross. But first of all, he had to carry a cross that was positioned on his shoulders, and he was so weak already. Somebody go with me. He's struggling with the cross. Can't even bear it. So much so that somebody else had to finish the trip up to Golgotha. When they got there with the cross, they positioned him on the cross. They probably stacked one foot on top of the other. They radically drove a spike through both of his feet. Mind you now, he never said a mumbling word. They stretched one arm out. They radically drove a spike through his hand. They radically stretched the other one out. They drove a spike through that hand.